This is a brand new year. And so traditionally we greet one another with this greeting that's called Chag Sameach. Let's say it together. Chag Sameach. Sameach means happy or joyful. Happy holidays to one another. And so right now we're at the very evening of Rosh Hashanah, which the rabbis teach us was the beginning of creation that we're celebrating at this time, okay? And some of you may be wondering, well, wait a second, it's 7 months later. But if you were to turn to the book of Vayikra, chapter 23, and let's do that now, those of you who brought Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Because this is most people say, well, this is a Jewish feast. Yes and no. It's Adonai's feast, so that all the nations can come into unity, that the Lord has established these feasts. Because all these feasts speak of his first and his second coming, all right? And so tonight, we're going to be focusing on his second coming. He's already come, right? The Mashiach, the Messiah. He's come, he's died, and he's been raised from the dead. Our eternal high priest is now before the Father, interceding on our behalf. And when he brings blood to be placed upon our sins of our lives, he does not bring the blood of doves or goats or bulls or rams, but his own precious blood that is undefiled. Because the blood of lambs, goats, and bulls, that was just to be a covering, a temporary covering. And the sin still remained until Messiah came and died on our behalf. So now let us begin in Vayikra, which is Leviticus 23. Then Adonai said to Moses, tell the people of Israel, in the seventh month, the first of the month, is to be for you a day of complete rest, for we're remembering a holy convocation. Announce with blasts on the shofar. Don't do any kind of ordinary work, and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. Okay? And so that's what the children of Israel were doing, okay? And so you may be asking, well, how do we as Messianic believers now bring an offering of fire to him? I can answer that to you. When the Spirit of Living God came upon those 120 who were assembled, the Spirit of Living God descended upon them, and they spoke in various languages, known languages, to those Jews who were part of the diaspora. The diaspora is that we were cast to the four winds of the earth. And so when they were there during Pesach, Passover, and they remained. Why? Because 50 days later, only 50 days later was going to be what? Shavuot, which was the giving of the law, the Torah, to Moshe, the tablets, on Mount Sinai. So instead of traveling away, can you imagine that time period, was much more difficult. You would travel by boat, or by camel, by horse, by chariot, or you'd simply walk. So it was advantageous for them to remain in Jerusalem and wait for Shavuot, as we know Pentecost, to come. And so the 120, they were up in that upper room and they were celebrating and waiting for what Yeshua told them would come. He said, wait in Jerusalem and pray, because I will pour out my Spirit upon you. And what does the scripture say? That tongues of fire came upon them. Did not burn them. If you read Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And it says this, that when it lined upon them, God's Shekinah, or some people pronounce Shekinah, his glory, his presence was there, dwelling within their holy temples, their bodies. And so here we see the fire being present. But the manifestation of the fire was the Spirit that gave them new languages. And they left that upper room and they went out in the courtyards into the streets and they proclaimed the good news of Messiah dying and raising from the dead. That's what took place at that time. So in this portion of scripture here, it speaks about what the Lord desires for every believer to do. And that is to remember these holy feasts of the Lord and to assemble before him. Because Yeshua will fulfill the last three feasts. The first one being tonight of Rosh Hashanah, the day when the king will come and announce himself to the world. Joel speaks of this and he says that in that day, the day of the Lord, will be a terrible and a fearful day. But that is where God puts the world in order. And he rules and reigns from Jerusalem. It'll be a terrible day for those nations who have persecuted God's people, for they will all be judged that day. But as for believers, it will be a great day of rejoicing. And in that day, in that time, all Israel shall be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So right now, we have now completed the month of Elul. 29 has ended. And so at sundown tonight, the month of Tishri 1 has now begun. The eve of Yom. Yom in Hebrew means day. Trua means the eve of the Feast of Trumpets. Day 1 will begin tomorrow. Day 2 will end on Tishri 2 at 5:30 p.m. Now, a little historical background. I already read the scripture here of Vayikra, Leviticus 23:23 through 25. So now the biblical year starts in the spring of the month of Nisan, which is listed in Shemot Exodus 12, 1 and 2. And Adonai spoke to Moshe and Aaron, his brother, in the land of Egypt, and he said, "You're to begin your calendar this month of Nisan. It will be the first month of the year for you. This has a certain logic to it. It is the beginning of the new harvest season in the spring." However, the rabbis gave such significance to this special Shabbat, which is today. It was the first of the fall holidays that eventually was considered as a spiritual new year, a time of renewal. Because we serve a righteous God. And what you know what his heart's desire is to do this, is to reconcile himself to us. But for that to happen, we have to acknowledge that there's sin in our lives. Does not the scripture say this? If you say you sin not, you are what but a liar. Right? There are thoughts that we think, that if people could read our thoughts, we would be utterly ashamed. For all of us have sinned in the sight of the Lord. But in the midst of that, God has given us provision in that we would recognize our sinful nature and we reach out to God and ask for him to change our character. Have you ever tried to change a habit in your life? And you keep failing and failing and failing? Until finally we cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, deliver me from this habit, which is unpleasant in your sight, that will lead to death and eternal separation from you." So now continuing. Hence the names change as well. The biblical known as Yom Truah, the day of sounding the festival trumpets. This first day of Tishri became Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, a brand new year. Because you see, it was the beginning here of the 10 days of awe. So 10 days from today, and some of you may be thinking, "Rabbi, you're talking in circles here." Well, you see, the Lord has established this. His days begin at the evening, prior to the sun coming up the next day. That's what the Lord has established. So with this, we'll move forward. The purpose of this holy days is summed up in one word, regathering. Since the fall holidays call us to regather to a pure faith in Abba, Father God, Rosh Hashanah has come to represent the day of repentance. And what does America need right now? It needs revival. But for revival to come, what has to come first? Repentance. And what does 1 Chronicles 7:14 speak of? If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and confess their sins. That word is to all believers. So you may be thinking, well, Rabbi, you're pointing the fingers at us tonight. No, I'm not. I'm pointing them also to myself. Because if there's any hidden sin in my life, then I am in rebellion against Abba, Father God. This is a time to become real and allow the Spirit of the living God to speak to our hearts. For we serve a Father God who desires not to condemn us, but to allow the Spirit of the living God to convict our hearts so that we may do what? Bring about fruits of repentance. Do you remember as a child, there were times when our parents told us not to do such and such? And as soon as they were out of our sight, we would go. One time I did this. There were these pink candies, all right? And I suffer from a color blindness, okay? There are some colors I can see very, very well. And when I'm at work at Kohl's, my part-time job, there are towels that I have to put out. And these towels are both a bluish color. I literally have to put these towels right next to each other to see that there's a difference in shade of the color. Otherwise, I'll put the wrong towels together with the others. And it's been hilarious. My manager and assistant manager have come down those aisles and said, they can tell when Frank's worked there. Because sometimes, you know, because not all the lights are on at 6 in the morning when I'm working sometimes. They have the inner lights on, but not the outer lights. And so they said they can tell every time I'm working there, okay? So I've learned a different way to take care of that. And that is to read the last 5 numbers that UPC, the number on there that they scan to tell you the price and name of the product and the color. There are some of those UPC tags that actually say gray or medium gray or light gray, which is helpful to me. So anyway, back to the story. When I was a child, I was like 4 or 5 years old. I was very, very tall as a child. And so anyway, my parents said that you cannot have those pink candies that were up on the shelf. My mom took them off the shelf. She put them up in the cupboard. I got a chair. I climbed up onto the shelf. I got into the one cabinet, and I grabbed what I thought were those candies, these pink candies. They're kind of a chalky taste. Probably you guys have eaten these. I haven't had them for years and years. But what I did was I reached into a package. And of course, I can't read at that age. And I reached in that package there, and there was some medicine in there. Alka-Seltzer. You know what I did? In my rebellion, I ate a bunch of Alka-Seltzer. Okay? My mom came into the kitchen. I was foaming at the mouth. Okay? But anyway, I was in a lot of pain. So she called the neighbor whose my dad was at work, all right? And so with this, the neighbor took me to the hospital. You know what they did? They pumped my stomach. Okay? I learned my lesson. All right? And you, so what I'm giving there is an example. It's a hilarious example, but it's the truth, all right? If my mom was here, she'd be just laughing, okay? That's the way we treat our Heavenly Father. Because we think, well, if I can't see Him, He cannot see what I'm doing. What does the Scripture say? He neither slumbers nor does He sleep. Okay? There have been times when the Lord's allowed me enough rope in my life that I'll go down this path, and He knows what's going to happen. I'm going to screw up. I'm going to mess up. And I'm going to be sitting on the side of the road or in the ditch, bawling, crying, because, Lord, You've forsaken me. And then He'll speak to my heart, and He'll draw me back. He'll point to me the error of my ways and look at me straight in the eye and say this, Frank, haven't we been down this path before? Absolutely. And so that's what the Lord is doing during this time, the feasts of the Lord. And I know I'm making this very, very simple because we have some children here, okay? And we need to be honest and open with them. How many spiritual leaders of congregations of churches stand before you and say, you know what? There are sins in my life that I'd be ashamed of anyone to know. And with that, be transparent and willing to bear my soul. Because the enemy wants to do is he wants to deceive us. Does he not? And these young people need to learn this. Your one heartbeat, one thought, one action from walking away from the Lord. That's why Rav Shaul said these words, lest he be a castaway. He would buffet his own body. That means make it walk in submission to Adonai's Torah. And you know what? That is liberty. I have great liberty in Messiah, great freedom in Messiah. And knowing this, that the Spirit of the living God will not allow myself to go to the place where He will allow me to deceive myself. He's always speaking to my heart and saying, you know what, Frank? You know what that thing's going to lead you down to that path. And then you're going to be before the Father on your knees or on your face, and you'll be asking the Lord, please forgive me. You know, but there comes a time in our lives as we mature as believers, you know what we should do? We need to die to that temptation. When Hasatan comes and tempts us with whatever that is, you fill in the blank. Hasatan knows us, does he not? He watches us, he observes us. But we have freedom in Messiah in that we know the ways that he goes. We know the temptations that are there. And that's why God allows there to be men with men, godly men, to hold one another accountable. Okay? The same with women with women. It's a beautiful thing. Not that we condemn and chastise one another, but that we'd walk in love and grace and mercy. What did Rav Shaul say these words? When you go and you speak to a brother and sister that is walking in sin, show them due respect, show them compassion, and show them mercy. As if you're snatching them from literal lake of fire. See, we don't live unto ourselves. Every action or non-action, every word, spoken or unspoken, either builds up or destroys. And that's why one day when I stand before the Lord in glory, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, Frank, these words that you shared, every word, every thought, every action or non-action, I'm going to hold you accountable for. Don't we have beautiful freedom in Messiah? In knowing this, the word speaks to that. And if we just simply allow the Spirit of the living God to live out his life in Messiah, shaping and molding our character. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now let us continue here. First Thessalonians 4:16 says this. Yom Teruah, the Feast of Tabernacles, has a deep messianic significance. The rabbis taught that one day the shofar will sound and the Messiah would come and the dead would rise up. What rabbi said that? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. He referred this into 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from the one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar. Think about that. That's the same shofar that was blowing from heaven when Moses went up on Mount Sinai. Because it was the Lord's desire that all the men and women of Israel would be priests unto him. And you know, on Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, what happens in the synagogue? You think maybe we've blown it a few too many times tonight? On the first day, it's blown at least 100 times. Why? Because it is a warning, it's alarm. Stop what you're focused on of counting your coins, thinking about your IRA, thinking about your house, your home, this, that, you fill in the blank. Now is the time to now focus on the Lord and your relationship with him. And not only your relationship with Adonai, but also your horizontal relationship with your brothers and sisters Messiah. Is there a brother or sister Messiah that you cannot even look straight in an eye because there's an offense between you? We are to go and have that reconciled. So continuing here. With God's shofar, those who died united with Messiah will rise up first. But those who are left and still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. At this second coming, all believers will spend eternity together in worship and fellowship. In this way, the second coming is seen with anticipation for believers because of reuniting of all believers before God. Has the Lord ever woke you up at night? Or maybe you were working? Then all of a sudden, the Lord gives you an image in your mind. If you're sleeping, it's a dream. If you're awake, it's a vision. And you see someone there that you've never seen before. And then the Spirit of the living God impresses upon your heart to begin to pray and intercede for that person. I've heard testimony upon testimony of believers throughout the world that this circumstance has happened to them. They were asleep, and the Lord gave them a dream. They could see the person. They knew that person was in trouble, but they just felt helpless. And they begin to intercede and pray. There have been times when I've been sleeping and my wife is sleeping next to me And she's praying in the spirit. She's praying in tongues. And the next morning, I wouldn't wake her up because I didn't want to break her intercession with the Lord while she was sleeping. And I would ask her, do you remember what you were dreaming about? And there have been times when she's been able to tell me, and there have been other times when she has not. But the Lord would show her someone that was in dire straits. He wouldn't reveal to her all the situation, but she was able to intercede and pray for that individual. Now, can you imagine now going up in heaven and all the believers who have ever lived are standing before the Lord of glory, and you look over to the side and you see someone's face, and the Spirit of living God brings you together, and the Lord uses you to intercede. And you may be thinking, well, that's a really, really crazy thought, Rabbi. Where'd you get that from? Remember Saul of Tarsus? And he's on the way to Damascus. And what is he doing? He has letters from the chief rabbi, the chief priest of Israel, to go and to arrest those messianic believers who are in Damascus. So on his way there, he sees the Shekinah or the Shekinah, the presence of the living God. And it is so bright. It's even brighter than the sun. And it's daylight. And he's the only one that sees that. And there are men traveling with him. And so he falls off that horse and he begins to talk with somebody. And the men hear his part of the conversation, but they can't hear who's speaking to him. And I'll fast forward. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, who is Saul of Tarsus, he's in Damascus, and he's blinded. And while all this is going on, there's a man, a believer, a messianic believer, that the Lord shows him all these things. And he gives him a vision and then tells him to go and lay hands on Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor of the Messianic community. And he lays hands on him. Think about that. Someone who has letters to arrest any Messianic believers in Damascus. And with that, he yields his will to the Lord and goes. What would the world be? What would the Brit Hadashah be without Rav Shaul? Have you ever thought about that? I believe the Lord would have rose up someone else to fulfill his call. But what a blessing it was that a former enemy of the Messianic community, when he had the veil removed from his eyes and was revealed to him, he was serving himself. He wasn't serving the one living true God. And God could have ended his life then and there, but he showed him grace and mercy. And how enriched you and I are today because of the life of a person who's been transformed by their character in the likeness and image of Messiah. So I say these words now to you. That awaits us. Are you willing to receive what the Spirit of the living God wants for you to receive? But what we must do is be willing to lay down our own free will, pick up our execution stake, and follow after Messiah Yeshua. So now let's go quickly here. As it says in Isaiah 45, 23 and 24, in the name of myself I have sworn, this is Adonai speaking, from my mouth has rightly gone out a word that will not return, that to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear about me, that the only in Adonai are justice and strength. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds like something from Revelation, doesn't it? That every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Yeshua or Jesus is Messiah, Adonai, Lord. So now moving now quickly. In the days of the sound of the seventh angel, when he sounds his shofar, the hidden plan of God will be brought to completion. The good news as he proclaimed it to his servants, the prophets. Yeshua will return for his followers who will reign on earth in Jerusalem as Messiah the King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Father, we come before you at this time. And we ask, Almighty God, that we would take the feast of Adonai seriously. I pray as we sleep and as we meditate upon God's word, he would give us further revelation that we would fulfill the call that you've placed upon our lives. Deliver us from our old carnal nature. Deliver us from ourselves, that we may be holy as your word says us to be. But that's not through our own righteousness, because our own righteousness is but filthy rags. As the scripture says, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And think about that miraculous thing. Yeshua's blood is red, is it not? But he makes us white as snow, pure and holy. May Adonai change our character. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.